Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five, raising my children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, Brenda, my wife, and in studio, Dave Buhner with me, another father of five, and just trying to figure out how to raise our children in a day where 40% of kids are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. That is utter devastation in the last generation, so thanks to the last previous two, three generations, we have lost the faith in America. We have lost family and a lot of freedoms as well. 70% of young boys not grown up by 30 years of age, per Newsweek magazine. Article came out last year. And that's up from 30% in 1970. So, Dave, I think the next generation, 85% of boys not grown up by 30 years of age. In another 20 years or 30 years, you're going to see 95% of boys not grown up by 30 years of age. Why? Because we live in an age without men, without fathers. The problem is self-perpetuating. No father, not even born with a father. Or 50% of marriages ending in divorce. Fathers distant. Fathers' hearts turning away from the kids. Not really loving their children. When it really gets down to brass tacks, not really loving those boys. So, yeah, a nation of lost boys. The economy is coming down with a bang, and we've talked about these things. Of course, the character of the nation is falling. We don't have men. We don't have fathers. The economy is busting. The political leadership will be nothing. So how do we reconstruct the systems? This is what we're doing. Okay, we're trying to fix things here, all right? It's not going to happen in Washington, D.C. It's going to happen with a couple of dads in studio put their heads together and a couple of elders in a church put their heads together and say, how are we going to reconstruct these systems? And, Dave, we have families that come into our midst who lack fathers. And we're trying to reconstruct fatherhood and manhood in a day without it. So one of the encouragements that we bring to our young men in our congregation, they get out there and they work. 1 Timothy 5:8, if a man isn't ready to go out there and work for his family and provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. And for that reason, of course, you have a lot of families who have no fathers, who do the work, take the responsibility for the material sustenance of the home. And so the whole thing unravels. All of society unravels. This is exactly what we're all enjoying today. With the devastation brought to us by the feminazis and the men who just walk down the river and abandon responsibility in their homes. All right, we're bringing back manhood. So, Dave, here's a practical way in which it happened. There's a young man, single mom, in our congregation, okay, 15 years old. This guy, we've been working on him. We got all the guys getting around him. I mean, he's constantly being encouraged and discipled by the men in the church, all right? So this guy goes out there, and his mom's having a hard time making the rent payment for this month. So he goes out there, finds a great concept, comes to the homeschooling conference and sells 150 or 200 of this product that he and his friend put together with duct tape and foam, and I mean, he just this thing that he built is sort of like this bat or this sword made out of foam, and he sold 150 of them, and he helped to provide for the rent payment for his mother. And see, again, man, I was all over him saying, you are the man, you are the man, you are the man, this is what we want. Yes, God bless you. This is it. You got it, bro. Now do it again. So I told him.
This nation will either fall or not. And so that's the binary.
On whether or not these 15-year-old boys will get out there and get to work and start providing for their mother.
If the nation doesn't fall, it will not fall because it is being upheld by men wielding the word of God. If it falls, its only hope for rebuilding is men rebuilding on the Word of God. So in either case, we need the Word of God and we need men. So that's what we're about. We're about men applying the Word of God. And the Word of God says you go work. Now, that's a big part of it. 6 days you shall work, the seventh day you'll rest. So we're out here telling these men, hey, be done with lesser things. Have heart and soul and mind and strength and serve the King of Kings in your labors, in what you do. It is time to put away the childish things. When you were a child, you spoke like a child. You thought like a child. You ain't a child anymore. Become a man of God. And that means finding labor.
You know, Dave, there's a great little book series called Little Britches. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before. Little Britches. It's a 5 or 6 part series written by a guy who was raised in the Western states during the early part of the 1900s. And at the end of the first book of Little Britches, his father passes away. All right. And he's only 12 or 13 years old. At the very end of the book, his mother has set out the dinner. Dad has been buried. And now he sits at the head of the table. Okay, he's 12 or 13 years old. He's the oldest son. And he says his mother looked at him, and he knew that she expected him to say grace. And then he knew he had become the man of the house. It's a beautiful story. But it shows that a young boy at 12 or 13 years of age understood what it was to be a man.
You remember the old Disney movie, Old Yeller?
Yeah, yeah.
Fess Parker, the father, has to go on a long cattle drive. He's going to be gone for a long time. He goes to his 12 or 13-year-old son and tells him he has to be the man. He has to be the man of the house. He has to protect his mother. You know, he was taught these things. He was taught how to take care of the cattle. He was taught. And God providentially brings to this family then a little crisis. There's a fever going around, and this dog that he loved becomes a central part of the story. But what's important about that story is that once upon a time in America, we expected 12-year-old and 13-year-old boys to rise to the occasion and act like men, to protect women, to provide, to labor. In fact, it would have been unthinkable for him to try and think, this summer I'm skating free, I'm just going to play games and skip rocks.
Dave, talked to another boy a couple of days ago, single mom again, and this guy's 15 years old. His mother can't afford an apartment at this point. I mean, really, they're in desperate straits. I look this boy in the eye and say, you get out there and you start working. All right, you got to help pay for a rent payment. Otherwise, you're going to wind up with the same problem. That is, these treacherous men who are worse than infidels and will not provide for their own families. We got to train our boys to understand this. They are responsible at 15, 16, 17 years of age to contribute to the home economy. They're not going to be liabilities, and they're not going to be spending the summer playing video games and running around after their little brothers in the house acting like little boys. No, they're going to grow up, and they're not going to be among the 70% of American young men not grown up at 30 years of age, if I can help it. Ladies and gentlemen, talking about an intensely practical solution to systemic problems that are shot through our American socioeconomic system today on the Generations broadcast. And one of the problems, let me tell you this, one of the problems are the child labor laws. That's right. One of the curses brought to this nation by well-intentioned people who wanted to pave the road to hell with good intentions were the child labor laws. Disgusting child labor laws that have destroyed the fiber, the character of this nation. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about them, Stephen.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org. Also, be sure to check out their bookstore on the south side of Denver on Parker Road.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson talking about the demise of our society, the demise of our social fabric. 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age, the family in shambles,
in some of this due, some of the breakdown of the character of young men due to the child labor laws. Child labor laws responding to certain problems that existed in society, but problems that were created by the new social system put together in the last 130 years. And I've got a basic beef with the social system. You see? And that's one reason why I've got a beef with the child labor laws. The first attempt was 1876, when a working men's party proposed banning the employment of children under age 14. By 1916, the first federal child labor law came into effect. In 1924, Congress attempted a constitutional amendment that would authorize a national child labor law. Unfortunately, that failed for them. 1938, FDR signed the Fair Labor Standards Act, which included limits on many forms of child labor. And so the federal government was involved, as were many, if not all, of the state governments. And by 1940, 8.6% of mothers with children under 18 were in the workforce. Of course, that number went to 74% by the year 2000. And yes, the family had disintegrated almost entirely by the year 2000. Folks, the family economia was ruined in the 1900s. From the time that the family was engaged in the family farm and family economies in the 1800s to the present day, the family oikonomia, the concept of the family being together, being integrated as a unit, was dissolved. It was dissolved by political and economic intent, by the systems that we created, primarily through education and then through other means. But folks, the family has been disintegrated economically because the family is a non-issue per a Marxist worldview. Now, back in the 1830s, liberals like Charles Dickens made a big deal out of problems that really didn't exist. Dickens utterly despised private charities and the middle class. Of course, we're taught about how wonderful Charles Dickens is by our socialist education systems today, and homeschooling and Christian schooling and public schooling. But Charles Dickens was a liberal, and he hated the middle class. And he wanted to get rid of the middle class, and he hated charities that were largely put together by the middle class and by churches back in the early 1800s. He hated these things. He wanted socialist systems, just like the environmentalists today. They use the environmental problem of the world heating up and going up into flames in 100 years. They present this scenario as a ruse for the rise of government power over everything, over the family and over business and over every aspect of life. See, socialism needs a ruse in order to increase its power. So here's what happened. Dad and mom were enslaved by the corporations in the latter part of the 1800s and 1900s. The government took over the family during that time. Now, the corporations took over the children for a while, and then they gave them back to the government in the form of these child labor laws. So today, government, compulsory attendance laws, and public schools are raising the children, not the parents. In the family, the parents are off in the workplace, and the whole family is disintegrated. There is no oikonomia anymore. That's what happens, and that's how you get things like the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, where they're pretending to give the child rights now, but really are only empowering the state in the process, while taking away rights for the family in Western nations. Remember, Marx's goal is to dissolve the family. That's in the Communist Manifesto. Kill the family. Make sure parents have no rights whatsoever, and make sure that children are raised in public schools and government-controlled schools. And now, of course, Marx has control over the Colorado state government. Marx has control over the United States government. Marx has control over the United Nations, a la the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. And today, the family has almost entirely disintegrated, except for a couple of homes out here on the eastern plains of Colorado and a couple of fathers hanging on to some tiny little fragment of a family economy, some tiny little fragment of raising our sons to be men of God and workers in the home and contributors to the family economy.
Kevin, your observations could not be more apropos. What you said about child labor applies in so many areas, but the story of the day, of course, is the government trying to take over healthcare. Now, healthcare, once upon a time, resided in the family. It was part of the family economy. Dad went to work. Guess who's then the healthcare costs became a benefit from the corporation, and the corporations took over healthcare, but they decided it was pretty expensive, and so now the federal government will take it. They're going to pass it off to the federal government, and the federal government, of course, is more than delighted to take it because healthcare means total control over your behaviors because they're funding it. So once again, we see this pattern where when it leaves the family jurisdiction, it ends up moving up to this tyrannical oligarchy or government control, and I'm not sure how many more times we'll see this, but we're pretty close to total government control of everything.
It's called the road to slavery, my friends, and it begins with turning over that power to the corporations, which happened in the early part of the 1900s, and then you take that control and turn it back over to the government. It happens with the child labor laws, it happens with health care, but ultimately it takes the family jurisdiction away from them. In a biblical worldview, and by the way, we use the Bible as our form of objective ethics, not Marx. I know our governments are all based on Marx. I know all the child labor laws are based on Marx. I know that. I'm just saying there ought to be a few Christians left in America who say, forget Marx. Let's go to the Word of God. What does the Bible say in terms of parental rights? Well, it's very clear. Parents have rights, lots and lots and lots of rights. The family has all kinds of liberties and freedoms. But the Bible draws the line very clearly on physical abuse. You cannot physically abuse your children. The Lex Talionis is very clear, objective law on this. Very clear. You'll find it in the Word of God, if you care. If you care. But if you're a Marxist, then go ahead and take your child labor laws and destroy your society. Fine. But as far as the rest of us are concerned, we're going to go with the Bible. Biblical ethics provide tremendous liberties, huge liberties for families.
What has happened, and let's look at it objectively, what has happened is that the government has said a child, your child cannot work for your economy. Your child must labor, though, for our economy, for our socialist system. The only place they may labor is in the state schools becoming good socialists. And then the state, when the cities and the local jurisdictions, they don't know what to do with these children when they're not in school. So they build skate parks and things like that because you can't make them work. So you have kids running around with their hats on sideways and their pants falling off their rear end on a skateboard going, dude.
When they really ought to be on a tractor, right? Those boys ought to be on tractors.
Or shovels.
I've got 7, 10, 15 pages here of child labor laws from Colorado and from the federal government. Dave, here, federal government law, minimum age for hazardous work. 11 hazardous orders in agriculture that forbid children under age 16 from doing any of the following jobs. Doesn't include the hazardous work of skateboarding in some of these skateboard parks, but you cannot operate a tractor in most situations. A child under 16 cannot operate a tractor. I think that's bogus. I honestly think that's just tyranny. This is evil, evil tyranny. Now, I know the people that brought these child labor laws had great intentions. They're evil tyrants. They're evil tyrants, and they are hell-bent to destroy our society and prevent our boys from growing up. That's a problem. You can't drive a motor vehicle. Here, you can't drive a motor vehicle under age 18, according to the U.S. child labor laws. See, there it is. There are 17 hazardous orders pertaining to all industries that forbid children under age 18 from doing any of the following jobs. Driving a motor vehicle under 18. You can't do that if you're under 18 years of age. Which means, of course, the assumption is you're never going to grow up. That's the assumption. So now what are we saying? What we're saying is that parents ought to decide. Parents ought to decide. The Bible draws a line on physical abuse. You can't run around abusing your children. But parents have all the liberty to decide what their little boys can do or little girls can do in their family businesses. Well, you know, actually, the Colorado labor law provides for one exception for a person who has received a high school diploma. So there's one little opt-out for some homeschool family out there that wants to provide their child with a diploma at maybe 14 or 15 years of age. But I still think there's lots of restrictions to what they can do. And they, of course, have to consult a lawyer to figure these things out. We're not giving any law advice here on the Generations broadcast. All we're saying is you need to check out the 18 pages of regulations on you. Your child's going to go out there and mow a lawn. Okay, go find all the regulations because there's tons of regulations on this. Either that or fly under the radar.
Yeah, Yeah, he might be able to mow a lawn if he has his own business and he's not riding something motorized. On the other hand, he absolutely cannot mow the lawn if he's working for somebody else.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's called tyranny, and it's destroying our boys. At some point, I think we have the mandate to disobey the laws of men if they are forcing us. They're painting us into a corner such that we are having to disobey the laws of God and raise boys in the wrong way. No, we've got to raise our boys to be workers. And Dave, you know I have done that with my son. You do it with your sons. We are going to raise our boys to be workers here. And folks, we are slaves. The larger issue, and let's hit the larger issue as you end this program. We're slaves. You are a slave. You're a slave to a big government with hundreds of thousands of pages of regulations on you. You're a slave. Now, I understand that slavery is inevitable for men who are sinners. Jesus said, "The Son will make you free, and you will be free indeed." But I hate slavery like I hate divorce. Now, I see that slavery is as inevitable as divorce. Yeah, I hate divorce. Divorce is awful. But it's inevitable. It's going to happen in a sinful world where you have evil people together in a marriage. And you're going to see slavery as inevitable. And there are two forms of slavery. There's slavery to big federal state governments who just impose their bureaucratic slavery to the tune of 50, 60, 70% of the GNI on the people. This kind of stuff happens all the time in the current world. There's also being a slave of a local landowner. Now, Dave, if I had a choice between being a slave of a local landowner and the slave of a large federal government controlling 50% of the GNI and huge federal bureaucracies that govern every aspect of my life, I think I would pick slavery to a local landowner over that. I think that's better. All right? This, folks, you need to think about this. You think you're free. You're not free. No, you're not even near free. I'd rather be a slave of a local landowner, especially if the guy had a relationship with me and I was able to talk to him and I could appeal and I could negotiate with him a little bit. There's no negotiating with a $50 billion bureaucracy. You got to be kidding me. There's no freedom there. There's no room for budging. There's no negotiation with a $50 billion bureaucracy. In the history of the world, folks, freedom has been achieved at some points. But slavery at some level is going to be inevitable. The character of the people is what matters here, Dave. And we're not a self-governing people. We're not freedom-minded here. So we wind up seeking security and comfort either from the local landowners or big federal tyrants. And right now, everybody's voting for the big federal tyrant because they're slave-minded. But I guess the solution to this whole thing is to raise our boys, raise our girls with a strong sense of self-government. As the man said, either you be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. And the reason we're tyrannized, the reason we're not a free people anymore, the reason we seek out tyranny, either to local landowners or to huge federal tyrannies, is because we just are not a self-governed people.
Kevin, at the beginning of this program, I said this country may rise or fall. If it does not fall, if it is sustained, it is because of men using the word of God. And that may or may not happen. At this point, I don't see it happening. I am told that our obligation to service this new debt that we have incurred as a nation, this new debt now, we are going to have to come up with about $100 billion with a B every week. That's just to service the debt. We have to work as a nation and provide the government $100 billion weekly in order not to go bankrupt. I don't see how that is sustainable. But if this nation falls, if God sees that this empire's time is up, and it very well may well be, whatever is rebuilt, if it's not rebuilt on the word of God, will equally fall. And what the word of God teaches our boys, teaches them to become young men. Now, how do we train them that way? We train them with work. At our church, we have to do a tear up and a set up and a tear down. We expect the boys to serve that church and work, without pay, by the way. We expect our boys to labor in whatever venue they're at. I expect my sons to contribute. Right now, they're building some cabinet doors for a family that is financially strapped, maybe getting ready to sell their house. We're donating that work. My boys are doing that labor. Why? Because that's what we do. We work. We work. We were saved unto good works.
This is the nuts and bolts of building hardcore, strong character back into the fiber of a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's only going to happen when you get a few dads who are willing to take the Word of God and establish a vision. The Word of God says, I want those boys to be ready to provide for the necessary sustenance of those homes. That's essential. That's basic. I want those boys to be shepherds in their homes, reading the Word of God and discipling their children in God's Word. Let's prepare our boys for that. Let's prepare our boys to be lovers of their wives, self-sacrificial lovers of their wives, willing to lay down their lives. We have an opportunity for a boy to get out there and lay down their life for their sisters or for their mom. We're going to challenge him to do it. If we're out on a ship and that ship's going down and there's only so much room in the lifeboat, those boys are going overboard and they're going to start swimming while the ladies are floating along in the lifeboats. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God gives us a vision for young men. And this is how we begin to rebuild the character of a nation and provide, I think, a vision for future generations. You know, folks, I'm not sure we're going to salvage this nation, but we can plant some gardens in the ashes. And that's precisely the vision that God has given me for the future of our children and our grandchildren. Plant some gardens in the ashes. Start building godly families, godly churches and communities throughout the plains of the Midwest, throughout the mountain regions of the Rocky Mountains, throughout the western states, throughout the coastal states. There's got to be some small families, some small churches out there that will gain a vision from the Word of God and begin reestablishing biblical systems of economies, biblical systems of child labor, biblical systems of family economic systems, biblical systems of inheritance, biblical systems of Social Security. That is getting rid of Social Security and using our children to living with our family. Getting rid of Social Security and passing on our inheritance to our children and living with them in our old age. We can replace the sorts of things that we've inherited with more biblical systems. We can do this on the local level. And we begin with educating our children in a biblical way. Getting them out of the public system. Getting them out of the public schools. And teaching them God's Word as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. This effectively is the vision of the second Mayflower. The book that I wrote about what we're going to do with this nation in the future. And I would encourage you to grab a copy of the Second Mayflower if you appreciate some of the vision that we shared on this radio program. I talk about the oikonomia and the importance of decentralizing business and economies. And you can grab a copy of that book, The Second Mayflower, at kevinswanson.com, where you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.